welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com, and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, hi everybody, hope everybody's had a great week. The sun is shining down in here and on the M27 as I'm driving from Gosport to Chichester. It's a bank holiday Monday. We've just had the royal wedding a couple of days ago, and summer is definitely here. And I was out shooting yesterday, enjoying a good day out at the Hovercraft Museum. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So what other things have I been up to this week? If you go over to robnonphoto.com, you'll see that there's a couple of video blog post review things. These are videos that I've had up on YouTube for, I think, a couple of weeks that I've done the sort of the blogging bit on. I think, what did I do? I did one on the Leica Z2X 35mm compact camera that I've been playing around with. And there's one, oh yeah, there's quite an interesting one, the Watson Bolt film loader. So if you're interested in 35mm film and you're interested in rolling your own with your cassettes, I've done a video of how I do it. Hopefully it's correct. One thing I sort of point out in the video is that the first batch of film that I used from the bolt loader, the stuff that was already in there, I managed to scratch myself because I wasn't using the gate correctly. But now I've figured out how to use the gate, the next film should be a bit better. The only problem with it is, I think this next roll of film is a little bit more fogged anyway. So we'll have to see. But first, a word from our sponsor, GoToMeeting. Now, GoToMeeting is all about making conference calls more productive, cheaper, and quicker. So if you've ever been on a conference call, like me, normally to do with sales or something like that, and you're sitting there with the phone to your ear while you're on the computer checking your emails or, you know, checking the websites or texting somebody or reading the morning paper, you'll know that you're not really taking that much interest in what your boss is saying. With GoToMeeting, what happens is, instead of just being on the end of a phone, you can be on the end of a phone, or you can use the phone line over the computer. But what you can see on your computer screen in front of you is exactly what your boss is seeing on his screen. So he can point out all the sales figures, new pictures, new products, documents, videos, all that sort of thing. And it's right in front of you. So you're sucked into the meeting, you're sucked into the conference call. You're going to be a lot more engaged. You're actually going to take notice of what he or she is saying. And you're going to finish it a lot quicker because there's going to be a lot less questions. And it's just a lot more enjoyable than just a regular conference call when you're on the end of the phone. So as I said, GoToMeeting makes your conference calls a lot more productive, a lot more quicker, and a lot more cheaper as well, because what you'll find is, if you give GoToMeeting a go, you'll be able to use it for all types of things where normally you might even travel to somewhere to have a meeting with somebody. But with GoToMeeting, because you can show them everything on your computer, you don't need to go, so you save all that time and petrol money as well. But as usual, try it for free 30 days. So go to GoToMeeting.com. And there's a button that says try it free. And please, if you do, put in the code PODCAST. One word. PODCAST. And what that does is that gives us, it tells GoToMeeting the fact that we're sending people to them. And that's how, hopefully, if all this works out, we'll get some cash from the podcast. So say that again. If you want to try GoToMeeting free, 30 days, go to GoToMeeting.com, that's GoToMeeting.com, click on the try it free button and make sure you put in the code PODCAST. Try it free, I'm sure you'll love it, because most businesses really could do with this. Because conference calls, I mean, we have lots of conference calls at my work, and okay, they're fairly engaging, but to be honest, they can be a bit boring. And the ability to look at things on the computer screen just livens things up entirely. So yesterday, me and Suzanne, Oliver's off doing something else, went to the Hover Show 2011 at the Hovercraft Museum in Leon Solent in Gosport, the UK, just down the road from us. Well, we live in Gosport. Leon Solent is like a little separate kind of towny bit that's right next door. Still classed as Gosport, I think. And it used to be, well, the Hovercraft Museum is attached to Daedalus, which is a big airfield. It used to be a Royal Navy air station. And they still run the Coast Guard helicopters and stuff like that. But the Royal Navy aren't there anymore. But it was also home of the Royal Navy's hovercraft unit as well. So there's all these huge hangars. But that's long since been disbanded. And as you may well know, Sir Christopher Cockerill, who invented the hovercraft back in the 1950s, used this area of the Solent as his testing ground and his manufacturing base for making hovercrafts. And the passenger hovercraft that runs from Southsea to Ryde on the Isle of Wight, I know it's the only operating hovercraft passenger service in the UK, and it may be the only one left in the world. Not quite sure about that. Hovercraft are brilliant things because, you know, they hover above the water, which means they can travel really fast, and they don't need a special jetty or a landing stage. They can just come up onto the beach, and you get on or off. And in its heyday, in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, there was even these huge hovercraft that were cross-channel hovercraft, car-carrying hovercraft that would carry like 80 cars backwards and forwards across the channel, incredibly fast. But as fuel prices went up, the economics of running big hovercraft kind of went down, and they've kind of fallen out of favour, really, I guess probably because of the more expensive running costs. But lots of these hovercraft that aren't used anymore have been donated to the Hovercraft Museum or are being looked after by the Hovercraft Museum. So down there they've got the Princess Anne and Princess Margaret, these two huge hovercraft for carrying car passengers over to across the channel. And they've got all sorts of interesting ones as well. They've got like the James Bond hovercrafts from Live and Let Die. They've got military hovercraft, loads of hovercraft that people have made themselves, kit hovercraft, all this sort of stuff. And so we went along, first time I've ever been to the museum. Suzanne had been before with Oliver, that's why he didn't want to go. And so, you know, I took my camera and I decided I haven't been out with my 350D digital SLR for a long time, seriously. So I took that along with three lenses, my 28-90, my 135-28 M42 lens, and my 200mm 3.3 M42 lens. And I took loads of photographs. I think it was about 500 photographs at the end of the day. The main reason for that is I wanted to have a play around with HDR again, because I've got a new copy of Photomatics 4, I think it is, and I haven't done a review of it yet on the website, and I haven't really played around with it much at all. So I did lots of multiple exposures of different things. It was quite a tricky place to photograph, so I kind of kept in mind Scott Bourne's advice with the EDFAT synonym, which basically EDFAT stands for what you should shoot when you're going to a location if you're getting a bit lost. And he is for everything, so try and get the whole scene in, set the scene. D is for details, F is for different focal lengths, A is for different apertures, so playing around with depth of field, and T is for time, so see if you do some long time exposures. Now, I didn't get to do all those things, but I did things like panoramas to try and fit everything in, because although the Hovercraft Museum is a fairly large place, all the hovercraft are kind of jammed in, so you can't get back far enough unless you've got a really wide angle lens, which I haven't got, unfortunately. So I used Photoshop to do some panoramas of the big hovercraft. I took quite a few detail shots as well inside cockpits and generally sort of around the place, things like the tail fins, and just enjoyed myself taking lots and lots and lots of photographs. It's always tricky when you're kind of on like a family day out taking photographs, because, you know, ideally you'd want to slow down a lot more, you know, and I would have whipped my macro extension tubes on and done some more of that kind of thing. As it was, though, because I was with Suzanne and, you know, we were having fun together, and it wouldn't have been really fair on her to do that. You know, I was kind of, you know, running and shooting and gunning and running, I think they call it. You know, shoot, 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 move, move, shoot, shoot, shoot. Another thing that catches my eye, shoot, shoot, shoot. It was quite fun playing with the different lenses as well, because what happens is a hovercraft comes over from the Ryde to Southsea hover service, comes over to Leon Solent, and you can go on pleasure trips. So it zips around the Solents. It was only a fiver as well to have a go on them. And so as the hovercraft was coming in, I had the 200mm 3-3 on there, prime lens, trying to get a decent shot of it coming in. Then I had to, you know, quickly swap lenses round to my 28-90 to get that. And it was good getting a bit of practice doing that. And it was great fun going on the hovercraft as well. Because when you go over from the South Sea to ride, the hovercraft's really just going in a straight direction and doesn't turn that much. But when it's going around the Solent, it took us almost all the way over to the Isle of Wight and round the back of this tanker that was anchored in the Solent, and you get a real sensation of how sideways these things go when they're going around corners. And you get, because there's loads of little boats out as well, you got a real great sensation of speed as we were zipping along across the waves, which thankfully was quite calm, so it was managing to go really, really fast. And the slipway at Leon Solent is was one of the steepest on the south coast, but also now it's got this huge shingle bank on it as well to protect the shoreline from coastal erosion. And so when the hovercraft hits that, when it's coming in, it really kind of rears up, and a bit like a roller coaster ride. But if you ever get the chance and you're over in the UK, make sure if you can get down to Portsmouth and get down to Southsea, take a trip on a hovercraft. They are, you know, it is an experience. It is really, really good. And the museum was pretty cool as well. I loved going inside the big hovercraft. Unfortunately, some of it was, they were a bit messy inside because they're storing lots of stuff in there. But I really liked going inside the museum as bits as well, where they were explaining about the history of hovercraft and the development of hovercraft. And, you wouldn't believe all the different things they've been used for around the world. And the military, I think the American military are big on using hovercraft, especially the Marines. And the UK, I think the UK Marines have got a few hovercraft as well. Because the big advantage of a hovercraft as a landing platform or a patrol ship, if you like, is the fact that it doesn't care how shallow the water is, and it can go straight onto land as well. You know, it can be zipping down a road 1 minute, over a marsh, then down a river. They're not the most protected things in the world because they have to be light, but as for, you know, for speed, maneuverability, and the sheer functionability, if that's a word, of a hovercraft for certain military applications, is definitely good. I'd have liked to see maybe some little trips on small hovercraft, you know, on the little racing ones, because they've got loads of those scattered around the place, but I guess with health and safety, the amount of space they have has been limited. But it was a grand day out, and it was a good day out for taking photographs. And then when I got home, then I had to process all these photographs, and it's a long time since I've had to process that many. I mean, I don't process them all, I just pick out my favourites. I chuck them into Photomatics to produce the HDRs, and that was quite good actually, because what they've added to Photomatics now are little preview panes, so you can see, so instead of having just to play around the sliders, you can actually see what different effects would have depending on whether you're using the tone compressor or the details enhancer. Or they do an exposure, there's an exposure fusion model as well. Hello. Oh, sorry, I thought somebody was breaking up ahead of me, but it's just a lay-by. So that was good, so it was easy to use. And I would say the big advantage Photomatics has over, say, HDR Effects Pro from Nik is the speed. You know, it's a lot faster, especially on my old PC. So I've done a few there. If you check my photo stream, or you check the notes at robnumphoto.com, which will be up over the next couple of days, you can tell which ones are the HDR. There's only one real obvious HDR, which is a black and white shot of the inside of a bus's driver's seat area. But the other ones, I've tried to keep them quite subtle. I think I've done two or three, and the rest are regular photos compared to black and white, or just done in just done in regular colour. But yeah, it was a good programme, and I look forward to using it a little bit more in the future. Obviously, if you're going to do better HDRs, really you need to be working from a tripod and working at lower ISOs, because that then reduces the noise that gets introduced into your images. But it was fun playing with digital again, instead of films, seeing the results pretty much straight away, and really enjoying using my Canon 350D Rebel XD digital SLR, just keeping my hand in kind of thing. I don't know if I prefer it to film. I think the thing I love about film is the fact that you don't get caught up in the technical side of things when you're out and about shooting, because once you've pressed the shutter, that's it, the picture is captured, and you can't look at it, you can't check your settings and all this sort of thing. It's done, and I quite like that, where with digital you can chimp, and you know, like, which is look at the back of the screen. and then sort of play around taking the same picture, the same thing all the time. And an example of that would be as the hovercraft was coming in to the landing ramp kind of thing, I must have taken 40 or 50 photographs, you know, because I had the camera on, continuous shooting as it was coming in. Whereas if I'd been shooting with film, I would have probably only shot two or three, click, 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 because I would have really waited until I got the framing and the composition that I wanted. So, yeah, jury's still out. I think I really enjoyed both. But to actually really just enjoy going out and taking photographs, you know, the process of it, where it's really simple and all you're doing is thinking about having a good time doing what you're doing and then taking photos in addition, I think film is way better. If you're on like an assignment kind of thing and you're producing images and for a real end result apart from your own enjoyment and for sharing your Flickr, then obviously digital is head and shoulders above because you can be checking your results every time. But there we go, you know, go to robnumphoto.com. When the show notes are up, add your thoughts to the bottom, add some comments about what you think about the pros and cons, the strengths and weaknesses of the two formats of digital and film, because they go together, and I think by shooting both we become, you know, better photographers in both disciplines as well. Well, that's all from me for this week. Hope everybody has a great week. Remember, you can email me, scalespeeder@gmail.com. Please keep sending me questions because they give me ideas for podcasts. You'll find me on Flickr. Just go to robnunphoto.com, RobnunphotO.com, and on the right hand side of the website, just scroll down and there's loads of contact links and where you can find me on YouTube, Twitter, and all that sort of business. Okay, well, that's it. Thanks to everybody for downloading and listening to the podcast, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.